always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider, as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside. Joined on this fine Tuesday afternoon, unless you're from Egypt, by Jovan Buha of Buha's blog. I'm sorry, like it was just so incredible, and I didn't really get to joke about it on Twitter.
Talk about kicking them while they're down right now.
I know. It was rigged.
Recover from that.
I will. I'll grant them that, like, them taking back the goal was one of the worst calls I've ever seen in professional sports. So we're even.
It's fair.
Today on the show, we're going to talk about where the offseason can go from here. A lot of the heavy lifting has been taken care of. Minus the fact that the Lakers still do not employ a starting power forward. Rui Hachimura is a Clipper. The Lakers are still in hot pursuit of Jonathan Kuminga, and I guess we could discuss how that might be going so far as well. But the way that I kind of want this to go from here is we're going to discuss how we think the rest of the offseason is probably going to go, and then grade the offseason, if that is how it does indeed go. We will throw out the most realistic worst case scenario and grade the offseason if that's how this would be played out that way. And then finally, or maybe we could reverse the order, but we'll talk about the best case scenario of how it could go from here and offer up grades from there as well. So we'll dive on in. A quick reminder, though, please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Turn on notifications for the show and for YouTube. Subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcast, if that's how you prefer to listen to this thing. And today's show, as always, is brought to you in video form by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and get $50 worth of free lineups. Whenever you sign up, use that promo code and make a $5 lineup of your own. All right. So I guess we could really quickly update everybody on the Kuminga situation. Anthony Slater of ESPN, who covered plenty of contractual standoffs with Jonathan Kuminga while he was in Golden State, is right back on that beat and offering up the latest that he is hearing about that. And apparently it sounds like Rob Pelinka and the Lakers have an offer on the table, and they have tried to improve that offer as they could. They are obviously limited by the little amount of cap space that they have access to. Does sound like they have promised a starting job to Jonathan Kuminga as part of that offer. And yet Kuminga and his camp haven't wanted to accept any offer right now because the Lakers just can't offer very much money, especially compared to the contract offers that he turned down, the extensions that Kuminga turned down from Golden State, as well as the player option or the team option that Atlanta didn't pick up. Kuminga is in the middle of a Dennis Schroeder summer, is what it sounds like. So, Jovan, how do you see this playing out? And how would you feel about Jonathan Kuminga playing for a contract on a Lakers team that has the, you know, aspirations beyond just whatever Kuminga would be hoping to accomplish?
I think the Kuminga possibility is growing on me depending on the contract and depending on where he's at mentally. I think if he's willing to buy in, I've been talking about this the last couple of days. I think Kuminga, like the best version of Kuminga to me is the Aaron Gordon, Aaron Wiggins type, right? And a guy who was a former lottery pick, had shown Andrew some Wiggins flashes offensively of potentially being that all-star go-to guy, but eventually realized they weren't quite at that level and bought into being more of a super role player, right? And Aaron Gordon and Andrew Wiggins, I think, were both the third best guy on championship team respectively. And so it's like, yeah, that's a high bar. That's high praise. I think on the surface, it might feel a little underwhelming if you're Kuminga hearing something like that. But those are two pretty good players who were big parts of championship teams. So I think it, depending on the contract and depending on how willing he is to buy into a dirty work role and doing some of the little things that he has done, let's say inconsistently up to this point in his career, like that to me would be where I'm at with that. He's not my first choice. I would much rather pursue a PJ Washington, a Derek Jones Jr. I think either one of those guys fits more with what the Lakers need while still being in their late 20s. But I think those guys are going to be a little bit more difficult to acquire than Jonathan Kuminga. I think the big thing here is going to be how much money can they actually get off of and how much can they offer him? So they could go either the cap space route where they just dump some guys, create that additional cap space, and then either sign him or sign and trade for him, or they go above the cap, they do the moves that they have, and then there are certain trade restrictions depending on the outgoing salary in terms of how much they could take back with Kuminga in a sign and trade. So as long as they're staying under the first apron, and I think ideally for them, the luxury tax, it's legal, you know, depending on the outgoing salary. But obviously, if you're trying to dump Vando, that's going to probably cost you almost all your draft capital, if not all of it. So a lot of moving parts with this, but I'd be good with Kuminga. I think that would bump my grade up a little bit and you know, it would get some more talent in the door. But I would prefer a more proven commodity if the Lakers are able to acquire that type of player.
Those picks that they have to work with right now are underratedly valuable right now because Washington is not fully bottomed out any longer, right? They just paid Trae Young. They're hoping to keep Anthony Davis. They're hoping that Sarr takes a step forward in his career, right? They have an interesting little young core that they're hoping grows. And so in the new draft rules, the second round goes in reverse order of the draft lottery. So if like Washington finds themselves in the back half of the draft lottery, now all of a sudden the Lakers have an early second round draft pick here. And you know, from their standpoint, you know, and I'm sure there's a lot of haggling going on here or whatever, but they're probably, if I were Rob, I would be selling it as a borderline like extended first round pick. You know what I mean? Like that's how teams kind of use the early second round. A lot of teams actually prefer to have early second round draft picks than late first round draft picks because of the contract flexibility that you have with those picks. So like the idea of just dumping one of those Washington picks, let alone all of those Washington picks, just to get rid of Vando's contract. One, we know that Rob Pelinka doesn't operate like that too. And frankly, I kind of agree with him if that is the stance that he's taking here, that you know, we just saw the Lakers get Cam Carr when they got him. And you know, for some reason, the Lakers are really good at navigating the draft and trying to get their guys later when they have an eye on them later in the draft. And so, yeah, it's going to be interesting how they handle that spot, unless it's Vassar or whatever his name
is. No, I was going to say, look at the last two first round picks before this one though. So I think Carr, I think is going to pan out, to be clear. I get that. I just think the Lakers have, and this can get into like a broader offseason conversation, but like right now with DA, and I think the writing was on the wall with DA, they were likely going to do him the favor of he opts in, then they could flip him and they got 2 second round picks out of that. They saved some money. Like it was a win-win for both sides. But with DA on the roster, I was kind of looking at this, like they have 7 guys that I have confidence in a playoff setting. Now I think I'm down to 6. So I think there's just like a general talent play here where adding a Kuminga, even if he's imperfect, even if he's got some glaring warts and some inconsistency within his game on both sides of the ball, like you just need more general talent. And if Kuminga has taken the Laravia minutes or part of the Laravia minutes, or if he's taken the Vando minutes or the Adu minutes or whatever, like that's a pretty notable upgrade in my opinion, going from a guy that I think is at least clearly a rotation player, even if we don't quite know if he's a starter or bench guy, versus some of these guys that I think are more on the fringes. So LA just adding a starter and like a certain level of talent to me, I think does go a long way in addition to getting off of some of the back end stuff. Cause I still think like I understand the vision with the top 7 or 8. I think they're really leaning into youth. a certain amount of athleticism, shooting, dynamism offensively, and really trying to make it where there's no place to hide outside of Kessler, who is going to be an elite finisher. Like, there's no place to hide. All these guys can shoot, dribble, pass, attack, closeouts, all that stuff. But the back end of the roster is still pretty shaky. And if you could find a way to turn Vando and Dalton and Jaden Hardy and Bronny, or like some combination of those four guys, into Kuminga plus something else, that to me, you're like, it's a 2-for-1 special where you upgrade the actual primary rotation, get the starter you need, improve the bench, and you're cleaning out some of the back end of the roster where it's relatively low upside. So I think that should be the goal here for the Lakers, is like, you don't necessarily need to empty the clip from a draft capital perspective, but can you restructure the roster where, again, if it's Vando and DK out, guys who aren't really going to play for JJ, Kuminga in, guy who's going to be a starter, going from like two fringe rotation guys to a starter, that's just undeniably an upgrade. So I think that, to me, getting someone like Kuminga level or above would change how I feel about the offseason.
It almost like you're, I agree completely about the number of guys that I trust in a playoff setting, and they legitimately need Kuminga, like, that from a talent standpoint, or they need somebody at his level from a talent standpoint, because the roster just doesn't make a whole bunch of sense without him. I also want to completely agree with the point that you're making about the back end of the roster. And one of the things that the upper levels, the upper tier of contenders have in common, there's very little fat on their cap sheets. You know, there's very little dead money or non-productive players who are making, we'll just say it, what Vando is making or around there. And turning Vando's contract, which is, you know, pretty frustrating, into a starter, like you're saying, and then turning Dalton's expiring contract and helping, you know, turn that into another role player as well, plus opening up a couple of roster spots, because I still think there's some interesting players on the veteran minimum, ranks of free agents who I think the Lakers could legitimately go to and say, there's an opportunity here for you, Matisse Thybulle, if you shoot anywhere near what you shot for Portland, right? So there are ways that I think this offseason can round out and be still very productive. So I guess we'll go ahead and start with the most realistic pathway that we can envision here for the Lakers. I think Kuminga eventually happens. There's just, it just makes too much sense for both parties there. I think the Lakers, now we'll see to, you know, what extent Rob becomes comfortable with attaching assets to get rid of a contract. Although I guess if he gets a starter as part of that, you know, series of moves or actual move, it's not quite the same as just attaching a second to Maxi Kleba's contract last year. But if let's say they walk away with Jonathan Kuminga, they get their backup center, right? Whether it's Looney is still unsigned, and I guess Valanciunas is still unsigned. But a caliber player in there, and then they add another couple of veteran minimum contracts. And then also, I think one thing that they should really consider is converting Chris Magnon. He's been excellent in summer league so far, and he's good at at a certain couple of things that teams really value, specifically perimeter defense. So I think just to kind of protect themselves from losing him, I think it makes a little bit of sense to convert him. Let's say that's how the rest of the offseason pans out. How would you grade it with everything that the Lakers were able to do?
So I'll tell you my starting point, because right now I think I'm at a B for the offseason, which could be high for some people, could be low for some people. I think the Kessler trade for me was an A. I think the only thing that knocked it down was the overall price. Like the actual fit. And I think if you put the trade to the side, which is a big aside, if you just looked at it as if like the Lakers signed Walker Kessler, I think that's fair value And I think he's a perfect fit for what they need. They got a foundational piece. They left this offseason with a long-term starter. And I think they have a nice core there with Luka, Austin, and Walker. So to me, that's an A-plus move in a vacuum. When you factor in the trade price, obviously the two firsts, the two swaps, that dings it to an A for me. But like that's my starting point with the offseason. The three players they signed, I think all of those contracts were more player-friendly than team-friendly. I have my quibbles with some of the slotting with some of these guys, especially if Grimes and Mamu are starters compared to bench guys. And Sexton, I've talked about it. I'm sure you have as well. Like there was an opportunity cost there of I would have preferred a Marcus Smart or Kelly Oubre, especially when factoring in. Yep. It's not like Sexton was signed to some long-term deal and he's locked up. He's on a 1+1. So he either exceeds that and now you have to repay him at a higher rate next summer or lose him, or he underperforms and then you have this player that you don't really love necessarily on a $9 million contract, like still low, but it's sort of a win-win for Sexton and potentially a lose-lose for the Lakers. So I think Grimes and Mamu, both the years and the overall AAV were like a little bit higher than I would have wanted. They gave them player options. They gave Sexton the player option. So the fit, I view all three of those guys as bench guys, plus the contract. To me, I collectively give those moves like a B minus. And so that nets out to me as like a B, maybe B plus, but I do view them right now as missing two starting spots. And that's where I kind of lean more B. However, I say all that to say, if they land Kuminga, for me, that would clearly bump it up to a B plus. And that would be how I view the offseason. But if they could get like a PJ Washington or Derek Jones Jr., I would view this as like an A or A plus offseason, because then I think more so PJ Washington than DJJ, because he's an expiring contract. So you're going to have to renegotiate that. I think he's got a little bit more injury concern than PJ Washington. But like PJ Washington is locked up for four more years. So if you get a guy like PJ Washington, he can be your long-term four. And then I think you would leave this offseason with two locked in starters moving forward with PJ and Kessler. Then the final position would be that point of attack guy. And if you get that guy at the deadline, or maybe you get that guy next summer with a non-taxpayer MLE, then you slot in Kessler, PJ, point of attack guy, Austin, Luka, Grimes, Mamu, Sexton. I really like that top eight. You have another backup, and then maybe Cameron Carr is like the other guy. Like that top 10, I think is pretty strong. So I think if they can land the starting level forward, it would bump it from a B to a B plus for me. But to get it to in like the AA plus range, I think for me, it would have to be someone like DJJ or PJ Washington, who are like perfect fits, proof of concept with Luka. And then in the PJ case is locked up for 40 years. So you have that certainty now of like, this is our new core. We have six of our top eight guys locked in. Now we got to fine tune, find the couple of missing pieces, and then we're set. So if they leave here with like two locked in starters and three locked in bench players, I think that's a really good off season.
Yeah, I have B is a little high for me right now with all of the, like, given the fact that they don't currently have a fourth starter. I can't see Mamu starting like that. I think that would be
I don't think so. I think Jake would be the guy right now. What do you think about that? I think with that, like, if they're playing a basketball game tomorrow, I think the starting group would be Walker, Jake, Grimes, Austin, Luka. It wouldn't be Vando. I've seen people throw out Vando. It would not be Vando. Vando would not start over Jake for JJ. It would be Jake or Mamu, but I think they would go Jake and then have Mamu be the backup 4/5.
Yeah, like starting Vando would be like a would you rather game for JJ.
It's just not happening.
like would you rather, you know, Ghost Reaper Pepper, Carolina Reaper Pepper, or start Vando? And he's like, all right, what am I chasing it with? But yeah, I think if they do, whether it's Kuminga, whether it's I don't know that they have enough to get PJ Washington.
So they can make the math if you did something like
the math Jake, works, yeah.
You can make the math work. But I think it's going to require, it's probably the 3 seconds on the swap. And I don't think you could put Vando in that deal.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got, and you might have to consider including like Thero. They might ask for Thero in that deal.
Which, but, yeah, then it depends how you feel about that.
Yeah. I like Theroux as a concept, but I think he's heading, like, I don't like that he can't stay healthy. Like, we just saw him as a late scratch in their last game. So, but yeah, it's like the Washington thing, if they could somehow pull that off and walk away from that negotiation with PJ Washington, and like you're saying, you now have your starting, you know, your core starters of Luka, Austin, Washington, and Kessler. And then if, you know, Grimes, if he does improve enough as a point of attack defender that you're like okay with it, you know, then all right, I'm starting to squint. I could see that, you know, that B or whatever, great. But that's like, it would almost have to be Washington for me to bump it up to like that B plus A range. That I'm really nervous about, like the Kuminga thing, because I think that would be a really big gamble. Derek Jones Jr. is an intriguing player, but he hasn't been able to stay healthy recently. And like you said, you have the contract situation there, and the team is going to be pretty expensive. And if you trade for him, you get his bird rights, and this team is going to be ready to re-sign basically everybody here moving forward. I would personally have it at like a C right now, because you used all of the draft capital that you brought into the offseason with pretty much, and you didn't offload Vando's contract. You know, like if they could have just included Vando's contract or Dalton's contract or both of those contracts in the Kessler deal, given that they gave up both of those first round picks and the pick swaps, and they're naming one of JJ's kids, Ainge, as a middle name. Like, you gotta include Dalton or Vando in that deal. Aside from that, you know, and we'll see how this starter thing goes. Now let's play out. I guess PJ Washington would be the best case scenario here. Plus Matisse Thybulle. I would also convert Magnon to a parent deal team. And I think that I would be shocked if the Lakers entered the season with 15 guys on their roster. Rob prefers to enter seasons with 14. So if that's your best case scenario, you would, since we kind of sort of outlined it already, you would have that as like a B plus slash A.
With Washington.
Yeah.
I'd probably have a strong A, because I'd be curious to hear it from you, like what stepping back and going back in time to like even pre knowing what LeBron was going to do, like what would have constituted an A? Because I think if you told me before the offseason the Lakers are going to pull off Walker Kessler, like they're going to lose LeBron, but they're going to pull off Walker Kessler, they're going to lock in PJ Washington as the four of the next few years, and then they're going to rebuild the bench with Grimes, Mamu, and Sexton, I think that's like, again, I think that's five of your top eight guys. And then you're also locking in Austin, keeping him. Like, I don't really know what else they could have done more than that. Like, that's where I think that the PJ thing, if it's also like, again, gutting the bench and gutting some of the dead weight at the back end of the roster. If you flip that into a starter, whether it's Kuminga or Washington, DJJ, someone of that general range, although again, I would heavily prefer PJ for the current build, that to me just changes how, because right now, like effectively the Lakers have just swapped pieces, right? Like we could go, you know, LeBron versus Kessler, obviously two different positions, but like that's like the third high salary. Like Austin steps into the highest salary of the non-Luka players. Kessler's making a certain amount, and it's like, okay, those are your top three guys. But then you swap in Grimes, Mamu, Sexton for Marcus, Rui, and Luke. You're still having the same depth concerns, though. And that's where, to me, like if you have the same depth issues that you had last year, maybe Carr pops, maybe Adu pops, whatever. But if you could find a way to turn the back end guys into another high level rotation guy, if not starter, then I start to look at the calculus a bit differently of saying, like, it wasn't just four guys in, four guys out. I didn't even mention Jackson. It's like now you are building towards the future and you added a couple of starters. So I think them adding a couple starters long term was like as realistically optimistic as it could have been. I didn't think they were going to build out the perfect starting group this summer. I didn't really think that was possible. So Sure, I'd rather, even if you got Washington, I would still rather have Smart or Oubre, no Sexton, having one of those guys start. Grimes is your sixth man. He's actually more in that Sexton role as an off the bench scorer. Mamu's your seventh guy, and then you go find a cheap point guard to play the Sexton role. Like, sure, I would have preferred that, but I think if you walk out of here with Kessler and Washington as locked in long-term starters, you kept Austin, and then you have a revamped younger bench that has a little bit more dynamism offensively. I don't really know if they could have done much more than that realistically, even if we can quibble maybe with the player options, some of the AAV, like sure. But realistically, in terms of like actual action, I think that's about as good as it gets. But what would have constituted an A for you?
Part of this is on execution. I just don't leave with the best feeling about how it went down with LeBron, where like the reporting is that they didn't talk at all. And this was after weeks, according to Ramona Shelburne, of internal dialogue on how to handle this. And apparently they walked away from those weeks of meetings, and how they decided to handle it was to not handle it. Like, I didn't love that. And I think there's a world here where, I mean, clearly they don't currently employ a starting level power forward. There's a world here where the Lakers do the work that they're getting ready to do to try to open up enough room to make a serious offer to Jonathan Kuminga, or to trade for PJ Washington, or to trade for Derek Jones Jr. There's a world where they have the financial flexibility to bring LeBron back. And now that's really cooking with grease, right? Like, that's, that team is absolutely overwhelming. So like, to me, if they could have done all of the stuff that they even including, because I don't love the Sexton signing. Like, I've had enough of the 6 foot tall point guards, you know, like, great, he slaps the floor defensively, but he's never been a very good defender. So even counting that, like, if they had executed all of this stuff and been able to go back to LeBron and have an open line of communication with him to be like, come on back, man. Like, look at you have a wide open starting gig right here. You can run the second unit. You can do the little things like he did last year. Like, that to me would have been an A+. I would have zero complaints, although I would probably find something to complain about anyway. But I would try really, really hard to not complain about that outcome. So to me, that would have been excellent. If they
was that even possible though, right? Like, I feel like the writing, I mean, the writing is even more on the wall now in hindsight, but I think if you look at just the way last summer's negotiations played out, the way that I think there was an element even during the season where part of propping up Austin as the number two and reducing LeBron's role to be more of a number three was auditioning for this roster build and seeing how Austin would look as the number two. And so I feel like the role, like, I don't think he wanted to come back and be the number three, to say nothing of like the contract stuff. So I agree with you that sure, if you just brought LeBron back with the current group, like, that's probably an A+ for me. I just don't know if that, based on the history, based on the way things have been trending the last couple of years, if that was even really possible. And if we just take what's been reported at face value, like, they were at least trying to extend the olive branch to a degree to LeBron, maybe not the full degree he wanted, but he wasn't interested in that. So that's where it's like, I don't even know if that was like theoretically, like, it was technically possible, but I don't know if it actually was in reality that like the two sides were going to come to some agreement.
It's hard for me to look as like a Zoom link as an olive branch, you know, like I just, sure. Well, that's all kind of baked into the point that I'm making is that like, I wish that they had managed that relationship better so that you could arrive at this summer and have that be a more realistic shot than, because you're absolutely right. Based on everything that has been reported or that you and I have heard after the fact, like, that relationship, it almost seems like, I said this to Harrison in yesterday's show, it almost seems like a priority was saying goodbye to LeBron this year. If that's the case, then yeah, I guess what I'm kind of talking about here is managing those relationships better so that you could arrive here. And because I think this team would have a better shot at a championship with LeBron on it than not. And if that's the point, right, if you're trying to maximize the window that you have with Luka, not just over his prime, but especially over the next couple of years, you know, while you're convincing him to sign another extension in a couple seasons, that to me was kind of the move. But setting that unrealistic outcome aside, like you're saying, if PJ Washington steps into that starting four spot and you know, you walk away from this summer with a solid 8-man rotation, 10-man rotation if you squint and if a couple things go right, I would say that is a very successful offseason. I would consider that A minus to B plus. And I'm a hard grader. So
that's fair. Like, I guess it also comes down to like how high are you? Like for me, the Kessler grade is like carrying this a lot.
Yeah.
If we're grading each move like the same slice of the pie, my grade would be lower. I think for me, just looking at the current center market, what was out there and what the Lakers needed and his fit, I am incredibly high on Walker. Like he's been my dream center target for the Lakers for 2 years. I understand the concerns with the contract and you know, for some people and obviously the price, but like this is a dude that I think legitimately next year or within the next couple of years could be top five in the league in field goal percentage, rebounds, and blocks. And the list of guys that can do that and impact the way to that extent, like it's just very short list. So like I think this is a guy who could be like 16, 12, 2.5 blocks, mid to high 60 shooting, like those types of bigs and like a legit rim protector, like second lowest rim field goal percentage allowed since he's entered the NBA behind only Chet Holmgren. Like we're talking about a special level of defensive anchor and rim protector. So I just think for a Luka and Austin team, like the next thing you need was that defensive force, that defensive anchor. Kessler checks that box. You also look at his games played, and I went through it like mysteriously the first 3 years, somewhere between 4 to 7 games at the end of each season, he starts to not play for a variety of reasons. Shams, so
the Lakers just signed Kevon Looney.
Okay.
Looks like a minimum 1 year, $3.9 million.
You guys are going to get my live reaction to this. I'm pretty underwhelmed. I think he's fine in a regular season context. I don't think he's a playoff player, and I shudder to think about what he would look like in a series against the Thunder or the Spurs, or if you somehow get past those two teams, like the Knicks in the finals. I don't think he's that. I don't think he's a playoff player, but anymore. Obviously, he had his heyday with the Warriors, but he's also really limited offensively. Like of all the guys they were looking at, I think he's by far, like even, you know, Cisse, Nick Richards, Jonas Valanciunas, those guys to me are at least a tier, if not a couple tiers. They're low on the rung. I'm not saying those guys are high offensive players, but like compared to Looney, he's basically like he's not a lob threat. He's even a guy that I think can struggle to catch and finish in traffic. He basically needs to be wide open putback, wide open dunk. So it's fine, but it's a clear downgrade from DA or Jackson going to Kevon Looney. Like that's a pretty sizable downgrade.
I was hoping that it would be kind of a more athletic rim runner as their like third backup, especially like
they could still technically really add one more, right? Like
yeah,
depending on what they do.
Yeah, and like as a project kind of thing, I guess, or on a two way. My concern with Looney is like, yeah, I just don't know how well he's moving anymore. Like he already, it's crazy because he entered the league as like a small forward prospect. Like at UCLA, he played like small forward and then like just got bigger and stronger and slower and became like a center. So one thing I do like about Looney though is that like he's really good at creating extra possessions. Like, and I think if you can help Luka and Austin get more possessions, or this like high powered offense get more possessions, then I think there's real value there. But yeah, I'm nervous that he might be a little washed. I'm going to try to separate him from.
I mean, a little.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to try to like separate him from like the overall New Orleans funk. Like that whole situation there is pretty bad. This is probably one of the more uninspiring options that they had at center.
If you look at like he shot 62% at the 62.5% at the rim this past year. That's a pretty bad number for a big man who's primarily just a catch and finish guy. Rim, what I'll say is like, he's been an Iron Man with the exception of this past year and obviously some weirdness with New Orleans, but from 2020 through 2025, he basically missed 8 games or fewer in each of those 5 seasons. So there's like a reliability there. He's still younger than you think. Like if you ask me how old is Kevon Looney, I would say like 32. He's going to be, he just turned 30 in February. So I mean, it's fine. Like it's better than Valanciunas. To me, Valanciunas is just like
real upset that it wasn't Valanciunas. Like given
you are
the direction of the rest of the roster. No. It's an upset.
I mean, he just is so bad defensively where he's just food for any like reasonable offense that he's going up against. He's food. Looney's just like, I mean, like for perspective here, look at how Luke Kornet looked in the upper levels of the conference finals. Like he is much better than Kevon Looney. So it's fine.
That's where I
like it's also fine if you're going with the minimum route. I would have hoped that maybe they could have. I mean, really, the only other guy I would say is Nick Richards, right? Like, who else? I like Cisse from Dallas. He's just an RFA, so I didn't think that was necessarily possible unless you did like a PJ Washington trade. But I don't know.
Yeah, this makes me wonder if, like, depending on how things are going with Sexton, if the Lakers eventually just try to trade for an $8 to $10 million center later in the year. We'll see what they wind up doing with the second round picks. But if I had my choice between just keeping Ayton and Looney and 2 second rounders, I think I'd have rather kept Ayton.
So I'll give you the positives right now. I'm on Dunks and Threes, which has some of the best just like overall advanced metrics like for their player profiles. So the positive with Kevon Looney, 95th percentile in offensive rebounding, 93rd percentile in defensive rebounding. So elite rebounder, both sides of the ball, 86th percentile in block percentage. So can be a defensive playmaker in that regard. Basically everything else he's below average in, including like overall offensive and defensive EPM, overall EPM, he's in the 30th percentile. So that's like clearly below the threshold you would want for a rotation player on a competitive team. But his true shooting percentage is a third percentile. He had a 45% true shooting percentage and 43% effective field goal percentage, which is fourth. So like he's as inefficient as it gets among like all players, let alone big man standards. So that's, That's where it's a bit concerning.
Damn, I was hoping you were going to say 20 among games. Centers.
No, it's pretty bad. pretty bad. Like, I mean, I don't think he's a rotation guy on a championship team. I think he's more of like a third center. So if you could still somehow get Richards or someone like that, I would prefer that.
I mean, clearly he's the third center. Mamu, I think they consider their backup center, you know, but
sure. Yeah. I guess that's,
all right, let's with Looney now on the roster, and the work that they still have to do on their starting power forward. Let's say they don't get,
I don't know why that was just funny the way you, you just presented that, this massive move that they just made with Kevon Looney.
Yeah. Well, cause that was one of my worst case scenarios was Looney, to be completely honest, because I just think it's so uninspiring. But let's say with Looney now on the roster and given that they still have to work on whether it's PJ Washington, Derek Jones Jr. or Jonathan Kuminga, let's say they don't get any of those guys. And this is kind of sort of the roster from here on out. How would you grade the summer from there, from that standpoint?
So this is with them getting Kuminga?
Not getting Kuminga.
No,
like,
no
Kuminga. So we're talking about just, like, worst case scenario.
Okay. I guess I'm kind of at my starting point of like a B-ish with again, that heavily weighted by Kessler. I guess depending on who the signings are, like, I don't love the Looney signing as a backup. I would have preferred a more athletic option. So already that's like got me teetering at, I don't know if I was at like an 85% B, I'm maybe at like an 84%, 83.5% right now. I'm not a big Looney guy, but yeah, I'd still go B just because I think one of my big thoughts with the entire offseason was just that there was no way the Lakers walk out of this offseason with a roster that's on paper on par with OKC or San Antonio. At best, you're trying to shrink that gap as best you can, but like, you're not going to be on par with them. You're still going to be like a puncher's chance, massive underdog in any series against either one of those teams. So can you get that foundational piece that's like a long-term part with Luka and Austin and really complements them? I think they did that with Kessler. Now, again, rest of the rosters, you know, don't love the players as they're currently slotted and don't love the players with their contracts. But all things being equal, like if they get slotted in the right role, I do see the vision with that. So I would say B, maybe that's a little optimistic for some. Some might go B minus, C plus, whatever. But for me, again, I want to be clear that like Kessler is carrying a massive part of this grade. And the other guys to me are kind of weighing it down a bit.
Yeah, I would say I would have it as a C right now, maybe even a C minus. Because like, and this is the worst case scenario, right? So this is the floor from here on out is a C minus offseason. And I think they're still like going to walk away with one of those power forwards. We'll just see which one, what it costs, the machinations of it. So don't get angry at me. I'm just, you know, the chat. I'm just saying how I feel about the offseason right now to this point, if this is indeed the entirety of the offseason. I'm really nervous. I especially also with Looney too, like I'm really nervous about the athleticism deficiency. Like one of the things I really wanted them to improve on this year was becoming more collectively athletic. And I don't think they did. Now again, we need to see who that power forward is, who that fourth starter is or whatever. But like, I don't love that, you know, the best athlete in your starting group is Quentin Grimes probably. And, you know, you don't really have a true plus athlete in your rotation until you get to Jared Vanderbilt, who is oftentimes out of the rotation. So, I guess we'll see to what extent Cameron Carr plays this year, and we'll see how often Adu Thiro is able to play this year. But they got younger, that's for sure, and they got bigger by way of Walker Kessler, but they didn't. They might have taken a step back athletically. So that makes me nervous. Would you agree about
losing
the concerns about
athletics? Yeah, losing LeBron and Jackson. I think the front court is definitely less athletic. The back court is probably more athletic because I would say Grimes and Sexton are collectively more athletic than Smart or Kennard. So yeah, I think I think part of their vision is like just looking at OKC and San Antonio and being like, we need guys who can keep up with those guys athletically and from a speed perspective. So, and we didn't even mention Carr within this, but like, you know, he's kind of on that 2-3 borderline. I think right now as he's around 185 pounds, he's probably more of a 2 than a 3. So if you add Carr to the backcourt as well, and it's like Austin, Grimes, Sexton, Carr, because I consider Luka more of a front court player, at least defensively,
two guards.
That's, you know, that's a, it's a more athletic group than it was previously. And we'll see, you know, they still have Bronny, Hardy. Like overall, I see the vision with the speed, the ball handling. I think it's not quite at the level you would want still, where again, like, I mean, but like my biggest issue with the current iteration of the roster is that you are asking Quentin Grimes to be your number three option overall and to be your primary both point of attack and wing stopper with the current group right now. So it's like, that's a, like, if he's able to do that job, that's worth way more than $15 million. Like that's like a $25, $30 million job is be like a number three. Like you're basically asking him to be like JD McDaniels and you'll get, you know, that's great value if you get that in a $15 million player, but I don't think Quint Grimes is JD McDaniels. So that's like a massive ask. Like I think he's got the biggest, like Walker Kessler, it's basically be like, do what you do, but do it at a higher level now that you're playing off of Luka and Austin and this like new massive increase in playmaking that you're going to be playing with. Mamu, do what you did in Toronto. Sexton, be that spark plug off the bench. Grimes is the guy that kind of like, yo, we think you're a starter and we're giving you all this new responsibility and like go hit your ceiling. That's the one where I think the offseason like really hinges. And I would say entering this entire mix, like I was lower on Grimes probably than consensus. I still probably am. I see the vision more. I think he could probably get be satisfactory as like that point of attack guy, but you definitely need that wing stopper forward type. Because again, if it's Jake or if it's Mamu, I just don't think that's good enough or even close to good enough.
Yeah. You have to run. I'm going to sit here and answer some questions from the chat. Anything that you want to plug before we get you out of here?
Just my show, Buha's Block. I'll probably have to go live now and you know soon because of this loony news. And then I was going to go live tonight and now probably going live earlier. And then just Lakers Collective. You know, those would be the two things to plug. I'll be out at Summer League all weekend. So if you guys are out there, we'd love to say hi. We'd love to run into you guys. I'll be at both Laker games. We'll probably do another meetup as I did for my show, you know, at a brewery. So you came out, Trevor came out, Raj came out. So yeah, look forward to meeting as many Laker fans as possible in Las Vegas and looking forward to see what the Lakers do over the next few days. Cause I think one thing that I haven't seen a lot of people talk about is that the Wizards have a trade exception that expires on July 9th for Kelly Olynyk. And it's a 13 point something million dollar trade exception. So if they slot, they don't have to slot DA in that trade exception, but if they do, they create a new trade exception with Jaden Hardy and that salary slot that they could use in the future. So I think there will be a little bit of pressure here from Washington to try to get this deal done within the next couple of days. And then once that deal gets done, the Lakers are on the clock in terms of trying to flip Hardy if they want to flip him while they have cap space so he could still be aggregated. So I mean, LeBron is holding up the offseason right now with his decision and just the uncertainty with that. But I think the Lakers are kind of in a position now over the next couple of days where if they're going to get off some of this money, they kind of need to get off of it soon, figure out the Kuminga situation, and then make those moves ideally by like Thursday or Friday. So I think we're going to get some action here in the next couple of days. And, you know, I'm excited to see how it all plays out.
Me too. I do not want to see Hardy on the team next year. He just doesn't make a bunch of sense.
I agree.
From a roster standpoint, but yeah, no, we will. I'll let me know about your meetup. If you do one, I will go ahead and try to sign up for that, in advance. And, yeah, thanks for hopping on, man.
Awesome, man. Good to see you. And shout out to...
Oh, he just removed himself. So he was going to shout out to somebody. I'll see who he's shouting out. Let's see if anybody shouted out. You know what? I'll text Jovan. Hey, man, you got cut off. Who did you want to shout out? All right. Let's go ahead and answer some of the super chats to get us through the rest of this episode. We always start with the most important sound on the show. Fuck Washington! All right. shout out to, you know what? It could be to you. It could be that like, I didn't. All right. No. This is what we're not going to do. I didn't boot him. So whoever is trying to start shit between me and my dude Jovan, where is it at? That was dirty. I didn't boot him. That was not me. I was hovering over the button just in case he didn't manage it, but he popped out of the chat and then that was it. So we'll find out one day who he wanted to shout out. And as soon as I find out, using my incredible journalistic integrity and instincts, I'll let you guys know. But all right, let's start though with Jovan Buha's Pookie. This might be shouting out Jovan Buha's Pookie Bear. Odds Magnon gets the 15th roster spot. All right. So I have been really impressed, honestly, dating back to last year, about the way that Magnon defends. This is something, point of attack defense is not something that the Lakers have had enough of over the years, especially with Marcus Smart's departure. They got worse in that regard. I love the idea of converting Magnon to a formal roster spot here for the Lakers. And you know, having him hopefully, you know, kind of learn on the job about, you know, get more reps this year than he had last year. As far as the odds that it happens, unfortunately, I think the Lakers have higher priorities with the rest of their roster spots. I think it would probably, if I had to set odds at it, I would say like 10 to 15% right now. And the Lakers would rather gamble on Magnon continuing on in a two-way spot that nobody else would sign him away at. But that is a risk. When you have a player on a two-way contract, there is a risk there that some team can just be like, we want him. And then you lose Magnon there. You might have an opportunity to, you know, make it work so that you can keep him. But, you do risk it. And I would prefer that they not risk it with him. Let's see. The next question that we have here comes from Ryan Lucas LA, who writes, Jonathan Kuminga's sign and trade is doable. Swap DK Vando with a fair AAV, meaning what Kuminga would get paid at. It's doable. I don't know that Atlanta has any interest whatsoever in Jared Vanderbilt's contract or in Dalton Connect as a prospect. Dalton Connect's draft stock or just overall value around the league is absolutely basement floor level. And, you know, when it comes to like what you need to give up to get off of what money, or, you know, could Dalton be seen as an addition to a trade, seeing as that he's still relatively young, former first round pick, somebody who a lot of people had pretty highly graded coming into the league. And then on top of it, right, you don't have to worry. Like, it's not like he's going to be commanding some crazy contract after this upcoming season. You trade for him, you get his bird rights. Like, you would think this guy would be at least fairly valuable. But unfortunately, that is just not quite the case. And, you know, right now he is seen as negative value. Now, on that front too, league sources are always slanted in that, like, you know, they're going to say, oh yeah, this guy doesn't have any value. If you talk to people around the league, and then, you know, the Lakers would maybe argue differently. But yeah, as far as like, you know, trying to go to Washington after you traded for Luka and being like, hey, yeah, I know that, you know, some fans, a large portion of your fans probably aren't really interested in trading with us ever again. Could you give us a pretty popular player there in PJ Washington? And could you take on one of our bad contracts? And oh yeah, by the way, we don't have a first rounder that we could possibly offer you. We have a pick swap. How about that? What do you think? And I just don't know how those negotiations would go. If Rob somehow pulled that off, I would be incredibly impressed. But Masai Ujiri and Rob Pelinka, they love to negotiate against each other. They every deadline, while both of those guys were employed, you always heard about the Lakers and Raptors being in trade negotiations for, at one point it was Kyle Lowry. At other points it was for, who was it? I forget. It was like a wing that the Lakers were kind of sort of interested in. Every year, you know, Rob and Masai would get on the phone and they would hash it out and they would never come to a deal. And here with PJ Washington, now I think it helps that the Lakers or that Ujiri is, you know, not the person who acquired PJ in the first place. Ujiri has been given full rein on what he can and cannot do. So I don't think he is being limited in the teams that he can talk to. He is a very, very tough negotiator. And this idea that the Lakers would get one over on him right at the onset of his tenure there in Washington, I don't know that I see that one. Let's go to the next question here. I saw Jovan in the chat and I wanted to see if he shouted out somebody there, but he did not. So at some point, Jovan, tell me who you were shouting out and I will try to say, pass that shout out along while I'm on the air. Let's see. The loon dog disrespect will not be tolerated from Jovan Buha's Pookie Bear. Look, I like, you know, like you guys know this. I didn't go to UCLA personally, but I'm a UCLA fan because my grandparents met at UCLA. I loved him in college, loved him coming out of college. I find his NBA career fascinating because he is now a center when he came into the league as a wing. I love that he can create a bunch of offensive rebounds and extra possessions for the Lakers. And I love that he limits those extra possessions for other teams. I don't know that he can move his feet anymore. I am very nervous about his finishing ability, you know, that Jovan Buha outlined here on the show. And, you know, just overall, I just think it's kind of a meh transaction. Now, Harrison is kind of tweeting about Looney helping recruit somebody. I'm going to send Harrison a text, ask him what he means here. I know you guys love watching me send texts. What do you mean by this? So, you know, maybe we'll see if this is a move that leads to another move. But just like in terms of the other centers who were available, I was pro Nick Richards personally. maybe. Yeah. Manny for real saying, Steph Curry. Harrison is saying Looney is friends with Jonathan Kuminga, which, all right. I didn't know this. I'm seeing it a little bit in the chat too. So maybe this is a precursor to more momentum with Jonathan Kuminga. But it would be interesting. Of those wings that we kind of talked about, Jovan convinced me about Washington and now I really, really want him. It'd be interesting. And this is the kind of thing too, that like after a Kuminga signing happens, it would be reported shortly thereafter, or like as part of the tweet that, Rob would want sent about the moves. He would say that, yeah, the Lakers signed Kuminga or signed Looney to try to convince Kuminga and that one led to another. I could see that, how that possibly sporadic thinks that Jovan was shouting out Kevon Looney might be it. I don't think so, because I don't think he was particularly thrilled about the move, but maybe. Next super comment that we have here is from John Sotelo, 8652. Think the Nuggets would be open to swap Vando, Hardy, and DK for Jonas Valanciunas and Cam Johnson. Saves them about $10 million, which should help them with Watson. There's a lot of noise about Watson and the way that his restricted free agency is playing out. I personally still think that Watson winds up back in Denver, but I do think that like that situation has become a lot more tense than Nuggets fans would like for it to have become. And, you know, I had people asking, hey, is there any way that the Lakers could get in on that and make some kind of sign and trade offer for Watson that makes the Nuggets sweat? I don't think so. What would make the Nuggets sweat is like the Clippers putting together an offer that has Watson north of 20-ish, $25 million a year. That would be something that would force the Denver Nuggets to really, really think long and hard about, you know, that core and how expensive that core is going to get. So, yeah, I wonder how that's going to play out, but I don't think the Nuggets would even like $10 million isn't enough, for the Nuggets to save to make up for, you know, Cam Johnson helping the Lakers. Like, this was the thing. This is a completely, well, I guess somewhat separate point from this question, but like one of the things that the Lakers really planned for going into the year was all of the cap crunches that a lot of these teams were going to have and how the Lakers might benefit from those cap crunches by landing some of those players that those teams would have to say goodbye to. And we haven't seen that. Like, unless you consider Walker Kessler an example of this, which I don't, because the Lakers gave up so much draft capital to get him. But like, remember at one point it was like Hartenstein, and maybe it's going to be Lu Dort, and maybe it's going to be Miles Turner, maybe it's going to be Giannis, maybe it's going to be this, maybe it's going to be one of the wings from New York if Giannis goes to New York, and maybe it's going to be Andrew Wiggins, and that just hasn't played out. And one of the things that I think the Lakers took for granted was, or didn't maybe take into account to the extent that they should have, was that none of these teams, like, if given the opportunity to save a few million bucks or help the Lakers, those teams have all summer found other ways to save that money when, you know, by avoiding helping the Lakers, if at all possible. And I think that's something that the Lakers probably should have taken more seriously going into this whole cap space plan than they did. But yeah, in this, for this specific question, I don't quite see that. Mockman writes, any chance LA could pry Sadiq Bey out of New Orleans? So this is one, a name that I reported on for a while. The Lakers love Sadiq Bey as a talent. Unfortunately, Bey kind of broke out last year for New Orleans, and now New Orleans loves him. So if they do lose a Herb Jones or a Trey Murphy, the Pelicans think that Sadiq Bey could like step into a larger role there. And, you know, by way of the assets that they get for those guys and by way of whatever talent they get for those guys, they would, that's how they would net out positively. But yeah, I really, really like Sadiq Bey. The Lakers were after him for a couple of years and really went after him last year. But New Orleans was just not having any of it. He's cost controlled. He continues to get better. I love how strong he is on the wing while also being able to move his feet. Really, really love Bey as a player. I just don't think he's going anywhere. Next question comes from John Sotelo. PJ for Laravia and Hardy would save Dallas about $7 million. They would maybe be more interested in that than a Vando package or a Vando DK package, seeing as Laravia is still seen as a playable NBA player nowadays, whereas Vanderbilt, I don't think, is really considered that way anymore. You would still have to give up all of the draft picks in this scenario, and then you still have to find a way to, you know, make Vando's money more productive next season. And yeah, it's a it's probably closer than the other one. I don't see it personally. And I feel like we would be getting more, like, what I could see the Lakers doing is leaking that they are making more progress on a PJ Washington front so that Jonathan Kuminga and his camp start thinking like, oh shit, we're running out of options. And so I could see that playing out in the next few days or so, but they do need to find a new home for Jaden Hardy, and Hardy was on Dallas before. And I don't think that those bridges are burnt. So maybe there's something there. All right. That is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge podcast. Thank you to Jovan for hopping on earlier. Never figured out who he was trying to shout out. So maybe at some point I'll, you know, let you guys know as soon as I hear that. Thank you to all of you guys for your questions and your comments, and for hopefully hitting that like button, hitting that subscribe button, and telling your friends about the show. Please also, if you guys are listening to the show in its podcast form, subscribe to this show wherever it is that you get your podcasts, and use that promo code HMA on Prize Picks to get $50 worth of free picks on Prize Picks when you sign up. Use the promo code and all of that good stuff. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow.